You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Father, you have raised up some solid, mature leaders who know the importance of your presence and who discern the words that the Father is speaking. Because how many of you know this is not about me or not about you? It's about lifting up Jesus. And so as I've looked and I've watched and I've seen many godly leaders be taken from the stage in recent years. In fact, someone was telling me, I didn't hear the quote, I'm not sure exactly how many, but several hundred pastors have died during COVID alone. This very morning, pastors that are dear to my heart are under attack of COVID. The enemy would love to shut every one of us up, but he can't. And even if he shuts me up, it's not going to matter because there are dozens and hundreds that will stand up and will speak the same word of God. Yes, and I heard Ruddy Sunday, and Ruddy, I was thinking, Lord, as soon as this knee is a little more cooperative, I'm looking forward to getting out on the property. Jose, you were talking about that. We'll get out there. Chick's talking about that. We got to get on the land. We got to get the tractors going. We got to get moving out here. And Ruddy, I was listening to the message, and I was thinking, Father, I'm ready to grab a chainsaw and go back out there and clear out the rubble that's tried to grow in since we cleared it and get on with the mission. And I listened to the words that Ruddy shared and I thought how God has blessed us by bringing Ruddy and Jasmine and David and Andrew from Jamaica. But Ruddy knows about the tent of meeting too. And so he spends time in the tent of meeting with the Father. And so I know that if you're not able to be where you normally would be, God knows how to take care of what needs to be done. Some of you may say this morning, my grandchildren, my children are not where I would like to see them with God. And they don't seem to have ears to hear what I might have to say. But let me tell you, if you're not there to say what the Father needs to say, God knows how to put somebody else there that has the word of the Father to speak to them. The tent of meeting. I believe this shows us how leadership transition happens. I believe it shows us how it could happen or perhaps should happen. Yesterday, I was blessed to have opportunity to talk with Ben. Hey, Ben. He's back in the back, and his wife, Mary Ellen. We were on the phone for more than an hour. And I can't tell you, Ruddy and Bob and Jose and our families, my wife, how blessed we are to be able to see younger leaders being raised up amongst us that have a strong biblical foundation, and they understand not only the words, but they understand the deep things of the Holy Spirit, who are not blown to the left or blown to the right with every wind of doctrine, but who God has brought alongside of us to be a part of our family. And so to Ben and to Mary Ellen and to Josh and to others, my son Jay and others, that God will raise up, David, Andrew, our children, Vincent, Branovan, God is raising up our young people so that we will be sustained in these days that we're in. I love this picture. Moses leaves the tent, but Joshua, the intern, stays behind. It's not enough to just have the word if you don't know the author. Unfortunately, today there are many that may be highly gifted, but who have not yet known the author of the word. Joshua would stay behind in the presence of God. He would cultivate a liking. He would cultivate this desire. He would cultivate this relationship that Moses had. He would cultivate this likeness of the God who would one day say, it's time for Moses to go, and it's time for you to step up and take your stand. I remember going to visit my friend Jack. Jack was in the last hours of his life. I was driving, and that day I had not received a word from the Lord to give to Jack, and I desired a fresh word from the Lord for Jack. And now I'm driving to his house. The appointed time had come. I'm driving. I still don't have a word from the Lord that's a fresh word from the Lord for Jack. And I'm in heavy traffic, And I'm saying, Father, I desire to speak nothing other than words that are words of life. And then the Father began to speak. I quickly pulled the car off the road and grabbed my notepad and began to write what the Father said. And I don't have those notes with me this morning. It was about a page, maybe 2 pages long. It wasn't something that I wrote. It was something that I sort of dictated. It was, you who go to the tent of meeting, who hang out there, understand that you don't go there just to hear. You go there to receive. There's an impartation. And so as God was speaking and the impartation was taking place, I was just writing down what God was saying. And Jack was a very dear friend, a building contractor who desired to be a part of our project. And desired to live to be a part of our project. Desired for the project to be bigger and accomplish more than we could ever dream of. And he would always say, Pastor Jonathan, you know, I pray that God lets me do one more project. And I'd like that project to be Abundant Life. Now Jack is hours from going home, and I have a message from God. Jack was a man that had big vision. In fact, a lot of people probably thought he was a little goofy. Because when he began to talk about what God put in his heart that God wanted to do on the Treasure Coast and who God would choose to use, and he said, that's not my place. I'm a builder, but I'm here to help create and to build and develop those things so the men and women of God have the tools to do what God is going to do. He would get so excited. I went with him to see the bankers and the attorneys. And Jack was dyslexic, and he could not put the words together. And so an attorney at $300 an hour would take a long contract and work his way through it so Jack could understand it. But he was a brilliant man. I remember one day he said, if a contract is of any value, it should be no more than one page. Jack would talk to the bankers, and I could just see their wheels turning like, what is going on in this man's head? What does he eat to make him think like this? That there is a God that actually wants to develop and build and have a big stature for His glory on the Treasure Coast of Florida. Bigger than anything we've seen, not of man, but of the Spirit. And here is a man, a building contractor, saying these kinds of things. My brother one day took some offense at my friend Jack Mecca. My brother Larry was a painting contractor. He had come to paint one of our interim tents that we were in. And my brother had been donating all kinds of things. Of course, Jack didn't know that, but he had been charging, I think, labor maybe for his men. And Jack came in, didn't know my brother from anybody else. He said, hello. He said, how are you doing, to my brother? And he said, what are you doing here? And he said, oh, I'm the painting contractor. He said, well, you are really blessed to be on this job. And my brother would later tell me this story, that Jack would tell him how blessed he was because God had brought him alongside of the preacher at this church because God was going to do some great things through this congregation. And Jack Mecca would ask my brother, now you're not going to charge the church anything, are you? My brother said I was a little offended because I'd already donated a lot and I was cutting a lot of corners. My brother said I was beginning to think, who is this man that's asking me if I am going to give everything without charge? And finally, my brother said I could be quiet no more. I was quite frustrated. So I just asked him, and who are you? I am Jonathan's brother. Who are you? He said, oh, I'm just a friend of your brother's. My brother said, how long have you been attending this church? He said, oh, I don't attend this church. He said, I've never attended this church. He said, I attend Morningside. That's my church. My brother said, well, why are you here? He said, I'm here because I've heard from God that God's going to do something with this congregation. And when I met your brother, God told me I'm going to use him and I'm going to do things in this city that's going to bring glory to my name. And Jack said, I'm a friend of your brother's. And the only problem I have is he doesn't call me often enough so I can help him more. My brother would tell me that story. Now I'm on the way to see Jack, and Jack is hours from going to meet Jesus. When I got there, the Father told me, I want you to read what I gave you. So I came up into the bed alongside of Jack, and I hugged him, and I had tears because, not tears because I was concerned about where he was going, but I had tears because I realized a giant who had walked alongside of me was going to be taken to glory. And I wept a little and I said, Jack, God's given me a word for you. May I share it with you? His wife was there, the family were there. The gist of the message was something like this. Something like this, greatly abbreviated. Many lived their life without understanding their value or their purpose. They will live their life and they will die and they will never even come close enough to discern the high calling and high value that God had destined them to experience. But then there are some who are much like Abraham, who have had encounters with God, who have been taken outside at night, who have been given the opportunity to count the stars and fall short of the ability to do so. Some who have been like Abraham, who have been called to consider the grains of sand on the desert floor and count them if you may. This will be your family, Abraham. This will be your descendants, Abraham. As far as you walk, to the north, the south, the east, the west, as far as you walk, everywhere your feet go, I'm going to give you this land. I had to say to Jack, Jack, there are some that get close enough to God that they begin to see what the Father sees beyond what the earthly eye can catch. And they begin to see that, and it begins to be real, and they begin to believe for it, and they begin to plan for it, and they begin to put their heart and life into it, and they begin to develop a tenacity to see it happen because they know that the God who has spoken in the tent of meeting is going to fulfill His word. And I said, Jack, I don't want you to think that this moment, as you are laying in this bed getting ready to be caught into glory, I don't want you to think for a moment that you missed the vision or that you missed the calling. Oh no, you didn't miss anything. The thing is, you actually caught it, and it caught you. And if the God we serve, if His vision was the size we could accomplish, then the God we serve would be limited by the size we are. But since the God we serve is a God of a vision that's far beyond anything I could ever ask or think or even imagine, then the God that I serve can plant in my heart and in your heart seeds that with faith become pregnant and with vision become a reality until we're able to call those things that are not as though they are. This is this family. This family. This family. So the tent of meeting, I may not get any further than this. The tent of meeting is so important. It's so important. It's so important. So important. It's so important. Your prayer time, your pursuit of God, it's so important. And the invitation today is to come boldly into the presence of God. I'll never forget in my travels with Roosevelt Murray, I'll incidentally pray that we're restored again in relational connectedness. I sense that God's favor will do that. Roosevelt was talking about this one day and he said, "Don't be nervous, honey, I'm okay." Roosevelt said one day as he talked about that scripture coming boldly into the presence of God, he said, "I have children." He said, "My wife and I, we found early on that children do not have any concerns of privacy." He said, "It could be 5 in the morning, it could be 11 o'clock at night, it could be 3 in the afternoon. My wife and I, we could have just gone to bed, we could just be waking up, it didn't matter. To the children, Mom and Dad were always reachable. And they would come plowing through the door. We realized we had to be ready at any minute because they could show up at any time." And he said, "That's something I loved about my children, that we were so close, that they always sensed they were welcomed." Roosevelt said, "There was a day when I came to understand that's what God was saying to me when he said, 'I want you to come boldly into my presence.' There's not a bad time to come. There's not a time that's the only time, a good time that's the only time. Every time, all the time, is a perfect time to come into the Father's presence. There's never a communication going on in glory that's too important. There's never a great alarm going on in the earth that is too important." Recently, when I heard someone say to me, "Oh, well, you know, I hesitate to ask for prayer because there's others with such great needs." And I realized some poor teaching had been received. Because if you believe this morning that there is ever a time that God doesn't have time for you, then you have received poor teaching and you have poor understanding. Because the word is, God makes Himself available all the time to all of His kids. The tent of meeting. The tent of meeting. Moses has this communication with God. You know, the sin was so great. The idolatry, the pagan revelry, the immorality. You know, it was just days since God had shown up and been so real and such a great deliverer, and then they so quickly forgot. And then they were ready to go back to Egypt, create us our God. And God said, if I travel with you, I would be tempted to destroy you. Maybe someone here this morning, maybe somebody that will watch or someone that will listen, maybe someone will have a sense that you've gone too far and that even though God might forgive you, you'll never have the same closeness you had before. Let me assure you that is a lie. Because God does not say, because you sinned, you're going to be second rate. You will never be able to enjoy the full benefits of the King and the kingdom. God never says that. I'll tell you, when I read about Aaron, Moses' right-hand man, who actually lies to Moses. Moses said, "What happened? How did this happen? Why did you do this? Why did you allow the people to get out of control? How did all of this take place? I was only gone a short time. How did all of this happen?" And you remember what he said, that he collected this gold and out came this, you know, it just kind of happened. How do you know sin doesn't just kind of happen? I know what I would have said. I can never trust that guy Aaron again. Who would leave him in charge of the hen house? I sure wouldn't. alone the people of God. But there's a picture in this of the mercy of God wherein Aaron was not destroyed, nor was he defrocked. He was not removed from his calling. But he was forgiven and called to move forward with the call of God on his life. And the Aaronic priesthood stood all through the Old Testament as we see it. But what about this word from the Lord? I would be tempted. The good news is he didn't destroy them because they're still here. Maybe you've tempted the Father in a reckless way at some point in your life. I suppose we all have in some way. But Moses, his relationship with God, he's crying out to God. Verse 15, if you don't go with us personally, don't let us move a step from this place. Now, God had promised he's going to send his angel. That's not bad, right? Moses had such a relationship with God. And don't get this wrong, but I've heard people praying to angels to do this, to do that, to come here, to go there. We're not to pray to angels. False teaching. I'm not in charge of commanding angels. They're not under my charge. Your Father's in charge of the angels. They are ministering spirits. They are an assignment, but they're not on my assignment. They're on the Father's assignment. Moses was not impressed with having angels accompany him. Huh. Well, I sure wish I could see angels. I sure wish, you know, I saw a little more of the supernatural. I sure wish. Well, some of you can say that you've seen angels. In fact, a lot of you have seen angels. You didn't even know what you were seeing. The Word says that. Unaware. You've entertained angels unaware. But seeing an angel, if God allows you to see an angel, then the angel's there on a mission. And I hope you got the message, and I hope that you received it. I mean, I remember there was a season where I saw two angels were on assignment with me.